We'll start the show this evening with this story from the Associated Press, Dateline Trenton, New Jersey. You may have heard it, may have not. Jim Sasek and I, you may have heard him in the sports club before the top of the hour. We had to play rock, paper, scissors to see who was going to get this story, because it is a sports story. But it really is. It's a head on with Bob Kincaid's story. As I said, Dateline Trenton, New Jersey. What chance do the New Jersey Devils give a proposal that would give the NHL team a less demonic name? Think hell freezing over, says the Associated Press. I can assure you the Devil's name will never change, and I think there are more important things to be thinking about than something that will never happen, said Chief Executive Officer Lou Lamoriello. See, I can just spit out last names like that because I'm a trained broadcast professional. It's who we are and what we want to be. Well, of course. And Wake Forest is the Demon Deacons. And somewhere there's some battling bishops. And there's Red Devils and Blue Devils and, well, Duke. Yes, of course, the Blue Devils, Duke. And in the NHL, there are the New Jersey Devils. And they've got this cartoonish little, basically he's Pan. He's the Greek demiurge Pan. Little horns on the top of his head, little black goatee, little mustache, bad sunburn. And of course, well, Mavis, he's getting ready to talk about the you-know-who's doing you-know-what again. Yep, sure am. State Assemblyman Craig Stanley wants to force the New Jersey NHL franchise to change its name. This is an age where symbolism is very important, said Stanley. He's introduced a resolution, are going to introduce a resolution in the New Jersey State Assembly in June, and there would be a statewide competition to choose a new name for the three-time Stanley Cup champion New Jersey Devils. I've always cringed when people say they're going to see the Devils, Stanley said. The merchandise, the paraphernalia, is based upon the actual demonic devil. Personally, it causes a little bit of an issue with me. Now, see, Jesse's just getting sharper all the time. See, he wants to move to New Jersey so he can participate in the referendum. He wants to call them the Hoboken Hellraisers. Hoboken? Who? I'm dying again. Oh. State Assemblyman Craig Stanley sits in the State Assembly, obviously being an assemblyman, sits in the State Assembly of New Jersey, where things come past his desk like, oh, I don't know, a Medicaid crisis foisted upon us by the Bush administration, who was busy giving away the surplus from the Clinton administration to his very wealthy buddies, or cronies, come on, that's what you call them, cronies. So New Jersey's got a Medicaid crisis. New Jersey has a health care crisis. New Jersey has homeless people. New Jersey has hungry people. New Jersey has highway problems. You from Jersey? Yeah, what exit? New Jersey has all kinds of problems. But State Assemblyman Craig Stanley is going to beat back the devil. Now, see, this is the part where I would silently cue Jesse to bump out with Running with the Devil by Van Halen. Of course, I don't have that, because these things only come to me in the wink of an eye. Now, I address myself to the decent people, the normal people, in other words, the progressive, liberal people. Is this the height of stupidity and foolishness? If you lived in New Jersey and you lived in a State Assemblyman Craig Stanley's district, would you be knocking his door down saying, okay, that's it, just pay the money back, we paid you to go to the legislature, just pay it back. You're a waste of breath. You're a waste of time. This is an age where symbolism is very important, said Stanley, a Baptist deacon whose resolution to rename the team is...
Now, see, these stories pick me. I don't pick them. Okay?
It leapt off the computer at me. We're talking about a guy who is a member of a denomination that couldn't be bothered to oppose an illegal war that has resulted in the deaths of over 1,600 American soldiers, the maiming of thousands more, and incidentally, not that we're counting or anything, the deaths of about 100,000 Iraqi women and children, but they're brown people, so they don't count, so never mind.
And state assemblyman and Baptist church deacons, Craig Stanley.
You gotta wonder if he's a relative of Lord Stanley. Maybe he can just withhold the cup. No, can't even compete for the cup until you change the name. Can't be bothered with any of the pressing issues of our day. He's more concerned with religious icons that are derived from ancient Greek, ancient Sumerian, ancient Babylonian, and ancient Egyptian mythology. Unless I miss my guess, nowhere in the Old Testament do you find the horns, the tail, the cloven hoofs. I think he's just referred to as the advocate when he's in his garb as a gossipy snake yammering at Adam and Eve. He's just one of the angels when he's disputing with God about whether or not to torment Job for no apparent good reason.
Well, go ahead, but yeah, don't kill him.
Some parameter. So is it as silly to you as it is to me? Is this really who we want to turn the country over to? You know, this is the same crowd that said parents should beware of taking your kids to see them Harry Potter movies because they is full of witchcraft and wizardry, and it leads to devil worship. It does devil worship. But there's so much more tonight because it's been a long downtime since Friday. I look forward to chatting with you. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. That spells WWNR on your telephone keypad. And we're going to go straight to the phones when we come back from the break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the total transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0939. 1-800-373-0939. Call now. 1-800-373-0939. 1-800-373-0939.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DePearl, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi,
Hello, and this is all for everybody. Please call me back.
This is Jimmy Chu. I'd like to talk to you about your apartment. If you can, please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. Almost 19 minutes after 7 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley, and it is beautiful this evening. To the phones, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're head on. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are.
How you doing?
Doing good, you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Sounds like you had a good weekend.
Yeah, pretty nice. Quiet.
Yeah, I had to call about the Jersey Devil thing.
Yeah.
Since I spent, let me see, 15 of the last 17 years living in New Jersey, I think this guy is going to go down in flames because of it, because the name was chosen because of the folklore legend of the Jersey Devil that lives down in the Pine Barrens, the monster that would come out and take people.
sort of the New Jersey answer to the Mothman.
Absolutely.
No. Well, this is, I didn't know that aspect of the story. But, what, can we just assume that this guy's never heard of that?
If he hasn't heard of it, I don't know where he's coming from.
Well, I know where he's coming from, Jeff.
Well, he's playing a game. He's trying to, you know, play the religion game against the reality.
Well, he thinks that he's going to bring the mouth-breathing faithful out in a bid for some larger state office.
It's quite possible. I haven't paid attention to New Jersey politics, but there's a good possibility there, especially since the governorship is going to be up.
Well, the one of the next to the bottom lines of the story here, Jeff, Acting Governor Richard J. Cody agrees that the name should stay as it is, so Mr. Stanley, Assemblyman Deacon Stanley, came back with, he's hell-bent on kissing the devil's name.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of people in New Jersey that know what the story is, and they're probably going to shoot him down. I think there's a lot more logical people than there are the Christo fascist, as some people call them.
That's appropriate. That's more than appropriate. And the thing here, though, is that this guy, I don't know. In my heart of hearts, Jeff, I think this guy really believes this.
Well, he might, but I read something the other night about the training that the Republican Party has been building up their base with over the last 25 years, where they play these games. They manipulate anything that they can possibly do to get some emotional response in you. And, what is it? One of the things that they referred to is neuro-linguistic programming.
Ouch, that just sounds painful.
It is, but it's very effective. And it's basically trying to figure out how you look at the world. Do you see the world? Do you feel the world? Do you smell the world or touch the world? And, through your physical and verbal responses, they can figure out how to get you to look at a situation and respond to it in the way they want you to.
It's almost the absolute pinnacle of marketing strategy then.
Absolutely, that's exactly what it is, and it was originally investigated because of the desire to try and market products. But, I don't know if you've heard the name Richard Viguerie.
Oh, yes.
Well, he was really one of the early initiators of this. And,
Well, so did they plant this seed within the right-wing churches? Is the so-called religious right
their creature, or is it a happy accident?
Well, I think it's a combination of the two because they created a network that was sold as being nonpartisan, but because everybody seemed to be learning the same lessons, they worked in parallel with one another. So it just sort of built up.
And now it's dovetailed.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, it sort of looks like the Republican Party is being sort of hornswoggled by the religious right.
We tend to use the word hijack. but I find it interesting to have this story arising in Jersey.
Well, the interesting part of it is that in the southern end of the state, you've got a lot of down-home religious people, but when you get up to the center of the state, it's much more metropolitan. People are using their brains. They have to use their brains.
And I hate it that we, and I'm not, this is not a criticism of you, Jeff, but I hate it that we are at a point where that is the dichotomy that we see.
Well, unfortunately, it has gotten that way because of the efforts put forth by people like Falwell and Dobson and Kennedy. You know, the really hard right religionists, dominionists.
Yes.
That have a specific idea of what everything should be in the world, and they should be in control of it.
And it's not just, you know, okay, so it's the New Jersey Devils. 4 months ago, it was SpongeBob.
Yep.
It was Tinky Winky. I'm not kidding when I say that we had a local politician here actually say on the air that that Harry Potter was a way to make children demonic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes me grieve for what I perceive to be the attack on intellect and reason and enlightenment in this country.
Well, what was one of the other, ReclaimDemocracy.org. There's another article that I read regarding the Powell memo. Lewis F. Powell, back in 1971, was a corporate lawyer, and he was on the board of a number of different corporations, and he was appointed to the court. He was also director of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he wrote a real long, detailed description of if the corporations wanted to get what they wanted from government. He described a completely detailed way to do that, and part of that was affecting all of the learning centers that we rely upon, primary schools, secondary schools.
And we have seen, and I know this because I've gotten done reading Morgan Spurlock's new book.
Yeah.
It's called Don't Eat This Book. It's the follow-up to Supersize Me. And he talks about the corporatizing of the classroom through the pop machines and the junk food machines
and
Channel 1.
I guess Channel 1 is one I know too well.
You know, it's $200,000 for a 30-second spot on Channel 1.
Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is they basically give that equipment to the schools.
Yes, it's a trade-off. You make sure that, 12% of your kids watch Channel 1 every day, and we give you all the junk.
Yeah, and in my profession, what I used to do was to install and maintain systems in schools. Part of it, fell into what Channel 1 was providing, and they were basically a competitor. And how can you sell something to a school if they can get it for free?
Oh, well, that. Jeff, I've really enjoyed the conversation. I hope we'll hear from you again.
Yeah, thank Ben Birch for turning me on to you.
Oh, well, indeed. Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Jeff. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. In Morgan Spurlock's book, and just a reminder, God willing, the crick don't rise, and somebody doesn't need him to put his hands and feet in wet cement somewhere in Hollywood on the Walk of Fame.
He should be joining us about 7:15 Eastern Time Thursday evening to discuss his new book. And I'm really looking forward to the conversation, because when you read Don't Eat This Book, it's got detail in it that wasn't necessarily available on in as much depth and as what you get in Supersize Me. And, you know, this is not one of, you know, another one of Bob's patented I hate the corporations screeds. But when you just read the numbers and you see what's going on, it really does make a strong case for us changing our ways. And it's rather interesting in particular insofar as you get the idea reading the book that a lot of what informed the decisions that he's made and the research that he's done is part and parcel of the West Virginia upbringing that he had. So I hope it works out, and I hope he'll be with us Thursday night. One way or the other, get your hands on Don't Eat This Book. There's a great link to Powell's books at Ben's website, whiterosesociety.org. Go through there. I'm sure they can get their hands on it and get it to you lickety-split. Listen, it's time for our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, more of your phone calls to 252-6200, outside Beckley 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. State police have arrested 16 people and cited them for trespassing at Massey Energy's Goals Coal Processing Facility. Sergeant Wayne Vessel says the 16 were part of about 150 environmentalists protesting at the plant today. The group wants Massey to close the preparation plant, which is next to Marsh Fork Elementary. The protesters want the company to clean up the school or build a new one in their community, withdraw an application for a second coal-loading silo behind the school, and halt blasting operations near their home. A Fayetteville businessman charged with killing his son-in-law is free on bond. After an appearance today in Fayette County Circuit Court, today Judge John Hatcher set bond at $75,000 for Larry Hess. The co-owner of Dodd Payne Hess Funeral Home was arrested late Friday evening and charged with murder in connection with the death of Jerry Chesterfield. Chesterfield was found shot to death at the funeral home on April 28th. Hess was still in the funeral home, and five rounds of ammunition from a semi-automatic weapon were found on the floor. State police have been investigating claims that Chesterfield was armed with a knife and that he had been abusing his wife, who was Hess's daughter. The number of fatalities in the state on the long Memorial Day weekend was significantly down from last year. State police say three people died on the highways between 6 o'clock Friday evening and midnight last night. 28-year-old Nicole Bailey of Pineville was killed in an accident Friday night on Route 85 near Copperston. Highway fatality in Pleasants County was the result of an ATV. Troopers identify that victim as 36-year-old Eric Groves of Raven Rock. The accident was one of two ATV fatals this weekend, but the other occurred on private property in Wyoming County and is not counted as a highway-related death. A worker at a video lottery parlor in Bradley has been arrested in connection with last week's robbery. Casey Everhart of MacArthur is now charged with accessory after the fact to armed robbery. Everhart worked at Judy's, which was robbed at around 3 o'clock last Tuesday morning. Everhart worked there, and sheriff's deputies found inconsistencies in their description of the suspect and the business's surveillance video. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, mid-60s. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to about 53. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of showers late in the day, with a high tomorrow near 72. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
Newspaper Guild workers in Youngstown, Ohio are continuing a six-month-old strike against a Vindicator newspaper over wages, health care costs, overtime, and use of company vehicles for newspaper carriers. Deborah Shawless is a vice president of the Youngstown Newspaper Guild, CWA. She says the union will talk again with the Vindicator's management today.
We will meet. We've been called together by the federal mediator. It will be the first time since March 23rd that we'll have any sort of negotiations. We're trying to temper our expectations, and yet we remain hopeful. We know that we can get this done. We need the company's cooperation.
The community and other unions have been supportive of an Adopt a Striker campaign that's helped 68 strikers and donations from the UAW, IUE, and the local postal carriers union. Congressman Tim Ryan supports the strike as well. The strikers are publishing a weekly strike paper, The Valley Voice, with 20,000 copies a week and an online edition. Shawless says this community wound needs to be healed.
There's a lot of work to be done here once the strike is over. There's a lot of repairing and healing that has to take place. And letting the strike linger only makes that even harder in the future. We all need to get on for the sake of the paper and for the sake of the community.
As the workers continue their strike against the Vindicator newspaper, Charlotte says she dreams of a dramatic headline announcing the end of the strike.
That's my dream headline on the front page of our final edition, Vindicated.
New York's largest healthcare union, SEIU 1199, has been holding pickets at nursing homes across the state. The workers are seeking better wages and benefits and are asking the legislature to agree to spending $80 million committed for use by nursing homes in upstate New York for that purpose. The legislature has to release the funding before their session closes late next month. The workers have been picketing at more than 40 facilities. A libertarian has announced his bid for mayor of San Diego, running on a harsh anti-union message. During his announcement Thursday, Richard Ryder says he will tell the city employees union to bring us the services we want at the prices we're willing to pay, or we're going to let you go. Ryder is seeking to privatize city government across the board and has said bankruptcy will be a reasonable option for dumping union pension and health care contracts. As a candidate for California governor in 1994, Ryder garnered 1.7% of the vote.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Free trade agreements like NAFTA and the proposed CAFTA are not only hurting U.S. workers, but those in developing countries as well, according to the Citizens Trade Campaign. The group says in Mexico, real wages have fallen by roughly 20% since NAFTA was created, and Mexico is now losing jobs to China, an even cheaper labor market. CAFTA would attack workers in new ways, according to the group, encouraging privatization of public sector work and driving down wages in service sectors. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org. Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. About 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Just sitting here chatting with the intrepid Jesse Fulmer, my producer. Trying to think about other team names that have to go. And, of course, wasn't one of the early symbols of the Cleveland Browns Brownie the Elf? Yeah. Gotta go. That's one of them pagan symbols. And St. Louis Rams. Rams figure predominantly in pagan mythology. The ram-headed god. Gotta go. Jets, Falcons, Titans, Tennessee Titans, they got to go because the Titans were, of course, weren't they the precursor gods to the Olympian gods? Was that the Titans or was it someone? I don't know. They got to go, too. It ties in nicely, though. I had an email earlier today from Scotty. He said, hey, Bob, your last show on the psychological defects of Republicans. Honest to God, I didn't bill it that way, but that's what it turned out to be. You know, it is what it is. Was an interesting and seemingly limitless topic. Personally, I think that most of their problems can be traced back to a culturally habituated addiction to intellectual shortcuts. Daggum, I got some smart listeners. Culturally habituated addiction to intellectual shortcuts. It seems perfectly natural to them to think that their shortcuts have led them miraculously to the truth, like that one guy that calls your show and wanted to debate the Constitution with you, a learned scholar, even though he had to admit he had shortcut himself past actually reading it. This stuff would be funny if these people didn't vote. Even if they have a desire to activate their consciences regarding an issue, they have shortcut the process of gathering the necessary info for a functional consciousness of the relevant intelligence. Well, what have we called it? Miraculous learning. Two and two. And a miracle occurs, and it's four. No, it's just two and two is four. No miracles involved, sorry. What about the miracle of birth? I've seen it. Didn't look too miraculous. Looks pretty natural to me. I mean, you know, cows do it, dogs do it, sheep do it, people do it. What's the next line? Let's fall in love? I don't know. But Scotty writes on, instead of applying critical thinking process to a problem, they can ask their preacher or find an accommodating Bible verse that's sure to excuse whatever answer they wish to find. If that fails, and even if it doesn't, they tend to gravitate toward a solution of political, economic, or physical violence, violence being the ultimate shortcut. This is why they can cheer for an unjustified war on innocent civilians for the purpose of stealing their resources, because they had not the consciousness to realize that it was unjustified, and their shortcut to solutions mentality and the irrational fears that accompany stupidity and ignorance make it rational to shoot the problem. They are sheeple made to order. Listen carefully. They are sheeple made to order for a fascist empire. I, for one, hope they get psychological help, but if they try, I'm afraid they'll find that the fascists saw them coming and have transformed the psychological establishment into an anti-science community of church recruiters. That's some trenchant stuff, Scotty. I appreciate it. People, you know, I said Friday night at the close of the show, this is one of the best jobs a guy could have, and it is, because I get to talk for the most part to really, really smart people who understand and see what's going on around them. The question, though, is what we do with what we see and understand. Let's go back to the phones. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Bob is with us. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hey, Rob.
Hey.
How's everything?
Everything's good.
Good. Hey, did you hear the latest goings on down in Marshbrook today?
I heard that they went back there. Do you have an update of particulars?
15 people were cited and arrested.
15 this time, not just two.
And I commend them. They have a lot of guts.
Absolutely. They have more guts than anybody who goes to work for Massey every day, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's Massey's answer? They don't have an answer.
No, they don't, Bob.
You know, Bo said, come up with an answer, yes or no. You know, what's happening down there? Massey doesn't give an answer.
To be fair, Bob, Massey's answer at Marsh Fork is to build another coal silo.
Yeah.
Because...
And I heard the EPA said that the coal silo is leaking.
Well, that's charming.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do when we find out that their coal sludge dam with their billions of gallons of goo is leaking, too? What do we do?
I don't know.
I mean, I heard, according to our news department, Carl Mack and Warren Ellison, there were about 150 people down there today.
I didn't hear that. I just heard 15 were arrested and cited.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know who's paying the fines for them, but people who care should.
Yeah.
They need help, and they shouldn't shoulder this burden themselves, because they're standing up when no one else is willing to.
Well, at least it got on the news. You know, it's getting some attention.
Well, and I think they're going to continue making noise until there is some level of relief. Because frankly, these are children for whom the Raleigh County school system literally stands in loco parentis, you know, in the place of the parents. And as such, they owe a parent's duty to see to the safety of the children. And frankly, they are abrogating that duty even as we speak by allowing children to go to school amidst all this toxic filth. But you know, maybe that's just me.
I don't think it's just you.
Hey, Bob, it's always good to hear from you.
Yeah.
How the Eagle release go?
It was awe-inspiring.
And the Eagle took to the air?
Wendy and Ron brought it out in the cage, and it was flopping around in the cage. They said he wanted out. They opened the cage. That bird just put out his wings and just flew across the valley.
Oh,
it was so amazing. It was ready to go. And 7 months of diligent work, they gave that bird a less than a 50-50 chance of surviving and even less of flying.
And I guess I'm politicizing the topic, but, you know, I'll do that from time to time. You know, I don't know for sure, but, you know, I'm thinking that's not something, you know, saving a wounded national symbol, it's not something you're going to get from the conservative religious right, is it?
No. I mean, think about it. Back in the 70s, that's when the bald eagle went on the Endangered Species Act from DDT.
Right.
What kind of nation leaves its national symbol go extinct?
Agreed.
That is beyond me. I cannot comprehend that.
Nor can I. And again, had it not been for the efforts of dedicated liberals, we would be talking about the bald eagle in the abstract.
Yeah.
And for those who might not know, Bob called in, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
To let us know that a severely injured bald eagle had been rescued and nursed back to health at the Avian Center not too far from here and was actually due to be released. That release took place, and it must have just been a magnificent moment.
It was.
That's just wonderful, Bob. Thanks so much.
Sure.
It's always good to hear from you.
You too.
Take it easy.
All right, thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
And congratulations to that brave band who dared stand up and engage in one of the oldest forms of dissent this country knows, civil disobedience. And so there were 2 the first time, 15 this time. What's Massey going to do when it becomes 1,000? What's Massey going to do when everyone is willing to stand up for the children that attend that school, since the Raleigh County Board of Education won't? Sorry, that's my take. That is in no wise a reflection of the opinion of anybody who was down there. That's just me. The school system stands in loco parentis for those children. So when those children are in that school, the school system owes the same duty that a parent would owe. It owes the same love, it owes the same diligence, and it owes the same care. And as long as coal impoundment, that multi-billion gallon toxic sludge hell hangs over those children like a sword of Damocles, sorry, the school system is not doing its job. To the phones, Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fine. How was your weekend?
Quiet and enjoyable.
Oh, likewise.
A little bit of this and that on the grill, some baseball, some quiet time, you know, some vegetative conduct in front of the television.
Speaking of the TV, did you see the memorial ceremony from Washington?
Jim, I got to be very candid. Well, I'm always candid. I tried, and then I saw you-know-who walking up with the soldier and the wreath and everything and dishonoring the memory of every veteran.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ceremony on the mall.
No, I did not see that.
Okay. It was very good.
George's appearance kind of soured me for everything.
Well, now that's at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier over in Arlington.
Right.
George was noticeably absent that evening when they had the concert on the mall, and it was extremely, in my opinion, it was extremely sensitive to the needs of a soldier.
Really?
Yes, very. And it sort of reinforced my belief that, you know, this is something you don't take lightly when you assert yourself and militarily, because this is playing for keeps. And, you know, here again, and I'm going to repeat this, those people who really love this war and think it is so great and think it's so wonderful, they, you know,
need to go get it.
They need to go get and be a part of it. And, you know, just like my fathers did and my generation did and in World War II and Vietnam and Korea and the other wars that have been fought. And, you know, to stand and be counted, if that's what you believe in.
I watched a recreation or a historical dramatization of the Battle of the Bulge. And it brought tears to my eyes.
Well, let me tell you something about that, Bob. My Uncle Jack was a lieutenant in Patton's Third Army, and he was up there and was cut off, okay?
Yeah.
Actually, he was rescued by Patton's Third Army.
So he was at Bastogne?
He was at Bastogne.
Yeah, well.
And then he got out of that. And my first cousin has taken all of his letters and has put them in electronic format and sent them to me. And the reading is very interesting. Some of the letters are written from foxholes. But nonetheless, he later went on to be a guard at Nuremberg. He was in charge of a cell block. And on his cell block was, I think, Joachim von Ribbentrop, who was Hitler's foreign minister. And he saw all those top Nazis. And there was a big stink about Goering, of course, but he escaped the hangman's noose. But the boy came back, in a year, he was killed in a car wreck.
Hmm. Well, in a family Bible we have, Jim, we have a letter from a great uncle of mine who was contemporaneous with my mother. He was her mother's brother. And it's dated in early December 1944, and it has a certain poignancy about it because he writes, "At the rate we're going, we'll be home by spring." And a few days later, the siege of Bastogne began, and he died.
Right. Well, my point is this. The greatest peace lover in the world and the true pacifist are our people in uniform, because they're the ones, and I've said this before, who have to go and hew the wood and draw the water and not cheer from the sidelines. And they are the ones who love peace the most, because they're the ones who are going to be separated from their families and have to give up or surrender that last full measure of devotion if the situation should arise. And it was, a moving tribute to those people. And the memorials we have, actually, these memorials are, in a certain way, memorials to our own lack of inability to get along with each other. And that's a sad commentary on humanity. But human it is, and human we are, and mistakes we do make. And I just hope that one day, in God's good grace, that we'll stop making these mistakes, and that we will at least, as I think one English statesman once said, enable ourselves to ascend into the broad sunlit uplands.
Yeah, and perhaps quit letting armchair warriors mumble around about things like dulce et decorum est.
Exactly. Sweet it is, that pro patria mori.
Right.
Well, it's easy to send somebody else to do the dirty work, I'll tell you that, and think that you're just being the great guy for doing it.
Well, that's what gets under my skin here. I have dared to criticize Dear Leader, and, of course, that is conflated into a criticism of the military in this war, and that's not what it is at all.
Well, I understand that, and I think that most people who have any sense understand that.
But that conflation angers me to no end, Jim.
Well, that's basically that conflation is just an example of their own stupidity and ignorance and their own unwillingness to view your words and to assess them properly.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, George.
Or to hear your words, excuse me.
George came out today and was asked about the Amnesty International report that refers to Guantanamo Bay as a gulag for our time, and he said it's absurd. And what really took me aback in all of that, Jim, was the fact that we have people, and Dick Cheney said that it's just a bunch of ne'er-do-wells and malcontents.
Mm-hmm.
Who are angry at the United States. Well, for starters, maybe they're angry because they were kidnapped for no good reason and imprisoned for years on end. Again, for no good reason. So assuming that to be the case, if they were merely kidnapped for the wrong reason, isn't that reason enough to be upset? Or as it turns out, and this is one of the things, when George said it was absurd, Jim, I was taken aback because We have people who were kidnapped. One guy was kidnapped going from Canada to elsewhere, stopped in New York, boom, kidnapped, sent to Syria, tortured for a year and a half. People from all over the world sent to Guantanamo Bay, sent to Abu Ghraib, sent to various and sundry other torture states, who have not had an opportunity to compare their stories one to the other, and yet they all come out with surprisingly the same stories. Now, doesn't that tell you that it's a little more than absurd, and that there's something a little more there than an offhanded, dismissive retort off the cuff?
It tells me something about the person who made the remark, and it tells me that anyone who would fly in the face of Amnesty International and do so with, such arrogance is just basically the person I've always known them to be.
Well, there is inherent in that claim that it's absurd. There's an inherent, it's inherent in that claim, Jim, that of course this couldn't happen because it's us and we didn't do that.
Well, that's just not good enough.
Haven't we heard before, we wasn't there, we didn't do it, and even if we did do it, we was only following orders?
We have. I mean, unfortunately, stupidity like that has a habit of getting its way, but, the days of these people, in my opinion, are numbered, and they will have had their brief gaudy hour, I can assure you. But I'm real glad that, we have a station here that can... Well, we've got the morning show. I don't really agree too much with it. And, of course, Slush Limbaugh, people want to have their brains washed by him. That's their prerogative. I say, go on, they'll make duff, and damn be he who first cries, hold enough. And then we have Dr. O'Brien, who tries to be a voice of moderation. And then we have another slant, which is your program. And I think the whole spectrum is very healthy.
Oh, I do too, and
I hope that all these programs will continue.
Well, we have started something here, Jim, and it's not just my show, but we have started something very, very engaging and very dynamic in an area that never had it before. People have figured out that they can pick up the phones, they can express their opinions, they can engage in debate, disagree, agree, whatever. And, they don't have to call San Francisco or New York or Atlanta or God knows where else and be completely and thoroughly pre-screened before someone makes a decision as to whether or not their comments are
worthy. Or insulted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As I've seen some of these people do that they let get out there. And, of course, when some of these talk radio hosts are back themselves into a corner, they try to switch sides and blame it on the caller and make the caller look like an idiot. I've seen that happen with Rush Limbaugh so many times. I just wonder, what the hell's going on with his OxyContin business. But, and I don't think that's a dirty slur at him. I mean, this is something this guy was doing. It was wrong. And it's illegal.
Well,
the doctor shopping to take medications like that because, I mean.
He's the one that called for all the junkies to be locked up.
Yeah, just the absolute epitome of hypocrisy.
I'm out there militating for treatment, for rehab, for reasonable ends to some of these prohibitions. He wants them all locked up. So, what did you say the other night? Let the final plague be out of Pharaoh's own mouth.
You got it.
Makes sense to me, Jim.
And like I say, if these people want to defend some of this stuff that's going on, then let them get down there and get a taste of it firsthand.
Yeah, making little ones out of big ones.
But like I say, the Memorial Day service was very nice, and it was oriented towards the privation and suffering of the soldier, and it was not as jingoistic as you might think.
Well, good.
It was a very thought-provoking and extremely...
Might we be looking for the word sober?
Sobering thing about exactly what is war about. It is not just, shibboleths or sayings or catchwords or phrases and the sounds of bands playing and things like that.
And you can't...
It is absolute hell.
And you can't hang a yellow Chinese-made magnet at the back of your SUV and call yourself a patriot.
And feel like you've done your duty to your country.
Exactly. No. Jim, thanks so much. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Take care. All right, time for our top of the hour break. When we come back, little news update from the Get the Clintons camp. I think you'll enjoy it. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, I'm here to see the apartment.
Oh, this place is nice.
Hi there. Oh my goodness, he's black.
How many square feet is it?
Oh, it's perfect. Look at the natural light.
It's 1,000. I can't rent to him. He probably doesn't even have a job.
What kind of deposit will you need?
I can't wait to move in.
Actually, well, whew. Go ahead, say it. He'll never know.
Is something wrong?
What's going on here?
Oh my, I forgot. This apartment's been rented.
Here, that wasn't so bad.
It has. Why are you showing it to me then?
She's totally lying. I don't believe this.
I'm terribly sorry. My mistake.
That was easy. He'll never know.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, you can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Dairy Tribune Classified Section, may I help you?
Yeah, I'd like to place an ad for an apartment I'll be renting out.
Okay, how should the ad read?
Sunny one bedroom, 850 square feet, modern kitchen, hardwood floors, $1,000 a month rent. Available immediately, unless you're African-American, Hispanic, Asian, Middle Eastern, Indian, or a member of any other minority group.
Okay.
Apartment is also unavailable if you are female, have children, a disability, or believe in a non-traditional religion.
Anything else, sir?
Oh, yeah. Can we hear that pets are okay?
Certainly.
Unfortunately, housing discrimination isn't always this obvious. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Tuesday. Keep telling yourself. Tuesday. Monday holidays. I think they've contributed to some sort of groupthink screw-up ever since Richard Nixon created them. You know, the long weekend's okay, but you spend the rent. Okay, today's Monday, so tomorrow's Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. You know what I mean. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and I promised you before the top of the hour news break a little something from the Get Clinton gang. You remember, don't you, all the hollering and simian snorting about the Hillary's just as dirty as Tom DeLay, all that stupidity, remember, because one of her former aides had done some fundraising for a party somewhere. And, you know, we'd been talking about what a filth-ridden pig Tom DeLay is. You know, I took money to advocate for teenage prostitution in the Northern Marianas Protectorate, how he took corporate money that was supposed to be for foster children and used it instead to advance his dirty political agenda in Texas, that kind of thing. And that was followed at one point by a caller who claimed Hillary's just as dirty. One of the guys in her office done got himself indicted. Remember? Oh, well. As usual, thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. Hillary's former aide was acquitted last week. For the Republicans in the audience, that means they found him not guilty. That means he didn't do it. Unlike Tom DeLay's little committee, which got nailed last week for taking dirty money down in Texas. Now, it's just another loss in the desperate wingnut attempt to get the Clintons. Get the Clintons. You know, it's got to be really humiliating for the Republicans. Still going after the same people for 13 years now. Still getting whipped every time they open their dirty little mouths or try to cook up one of their rotten little schemes. It's kind of fun, though. But, you know, you remember toward the end of last week, and I didn't get to cover it on Friday. I'm sorry. There's a lot of stuff to cover. I could do a six-hour show and still have stuff left over the next day. But you remember the hopping up and down little simian frenzy that the right wing got into over the passing reference to Tom DeLay on Law and Order Crossing Guard Unit, or maybe it was the main one. I don't remember. But they were going. Somebody had shot a judge, and therefore two frustrated detectives who had no leads. One looks at the other and says, "Maybe we need to find somebody in a Tom DeLay. Look for somebody in a Tom DeLay T-shirt." Now, this reference, of course, was made because Tom DeLay said, "One of these days, these here activist judges is going to learn a lesson." Right. So, you know, being a topical show, Law and Order used the reference. So now what's happened? Well, there's a newspaper. It's called Roll Call. And they've gotten hold of the House GOP Conference Vice Chairman Jack Kingston of Georgia's talking points responding to the Law and Order episode. You know, about the put out an APB for somebody in a Tom DeLay T-shirt remark. And again, the classic case of the conflation we were talking about earlier. They didn't say Tom DeLay killed the judge. They said somebody in a Tom DeLay T-shirt. Now, unless Tom DeLay goes wandering around wearing Tom DeLay T-shirts, it's obviously not a reference to Tom DeLay. But these clowns can't deal with reality. Again, this is apparently a bunch of people who were at Woodstock and didn't hear the admonition not to eat the brown acid. They ate it. They've never been the same since. So, guess what? In a desperate effort to turn attention away from the filthiest man ever to inhabit the halls of the House of Representatives, to wit, Tom DeLay, these talking points from GOP Conference Vice Chairman Jack Kingston of Georgia says it suggests that they go after House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and, drumroll please, Hillary Clinton. Huh? What? Yeah. Kingston, according to Roll Call, has been out on the TV circuit blaring outrage. And he's repeating, "This was a personal swipe at Tom DeLay during Sweeps Week." It was. Fortunately, I keep my feathers numbered for just such an occasion. A personal swipe. No, it wasn't. It was a guy. Put out an APB for a guy in a Tom DeLay T-shirt. Obvious, one might think, but not to a Republican. So Kingston is suggesting that members of the Grand Oil Party say things like, "You never see TV shows depicting a 15-year-old teenage girl driving across the state border to get an abortion with Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton T-shirt on." I didn't know that either Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton had ever stood up and suggested that they wanted to take girls across state lines for an abortion. Or ice cream cone, for that matter. No, no, didn't happen. Sorry. There you go, Republicans. There's your lovely parting gift. Thanks for playing. These, oh, God, they're funny. and it's not just Tom DeLay, it's John Cornyn a week later.
I can understand how some people might want to blow up the Murrah Federal Building because these federal activists, these activist judges are the ruination of America.
But Tom DeLay said what he said. And he said it after, a Republican-appointed Supreme Court justice turned down the Terry Schiavo case at the United States Supreme Court.
One of these days, these here activist judges is going to learn a lesson.
Now, see, I can do things like this because I'm a proud son of the South myself. Whether it be West Virginia or Alabama or any other southern state I've ever lived in, I am a southerner. And therefore, I am well aware of the foibles of my southern brothers and sisters, as is the rest of the country after the IQ test of November 2nd, which most of the South failed miserably, but that's another story. I know what the face of hate looks like. I know that these people are little more than Klansmen without their sheets. You know, meanwhile, we've got some guy in the northern part of the state here in West Virginia that has been hauled in by the law because he's wearing a Grinch mask to some protest meetings. I don't have the story in front of me, but there is an anti-masking law in this state, as there is in any number of southern states, that was written specifically for the Exalted Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. That's why when the Klan rallies here, they have to do it without a mask on. This guy is protesting some rather hard-hearted policies by a corporation. And he shows up at protests in his street clothes. And while on the street, in front of God and everybody, puts on a green cloak and a rubber Grinch mask, and they've run him in for it. Because it's a violation of the West Virginia masking statute. This guy should appeal. Because there's a big difference in, throwing on your bed sheet and your pillowcase over your head and going out to lynch a black man and putting on a Grinch mask to protest on a picket line. Up in Wheeling is where it was. The fellow's name is Norman Gray. Worked for Ormet Corporation. And Ormet announced in April that it emerged from bankruptcy as part of the plan approved by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court. We've heard this one before, haven't we? Of course we have. The company's been cleared to break labor contracts, reorganize its debt, and forego selling two plants. More than 1,200 workers went on strike in November, one of whom is Norman Gray, who shows up in a Grinch mask and gets busted for protesting the theft of his union job. He was wearing the Grinch mask. He showed up today, however, wearing prison stripes, handcuffs, and a ball and chain. The Grinch mask and a robe were on a scarecrow that he carried. So you can put a mask on a scarecrow, but you can't wear... brother. Where do we live? Bushmerica, that's where. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
Four coal miners have lost their lives to rift fall accidents this year. This should be of high concern to all underground miners. Hello, I'm Dave Lariski, head of MSHA. There are steps miners and mine operators can take to prevent these occurrences. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. It was created to best fit your mine. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen for noises, and sound it out. When adverse roof conditions are encountered, additional roof support should be installed. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations, and never, ever walk under or travel under unsupported roof. Today, mining fatality and injury rates are at historic low levels. You can continue to influence this trend by making sure that you closely examine roof conditions in your underground mine. Let's make sure that all miners return home safe and healthy after each workday. Thank you for listening.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, keeping your car full of antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep you and your family and other drivers safer, while keeping your car more fuel efficient, thus protecting the environment. That's why the Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. Read your owner's manual, talk to a qualified service technician, and use an online resource. For more information on how to keep your car running safely, visit vehiclemanager.com. Take care of your car. It will save you money, and it will protect you and your family and other drivers. This has been a public service message from the Car Care Council.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Figure it out for yourself. I mentioned Bush America. Two stories. One from the rarefied air of entertainment. The other from everyday life. Now, the younger set, you whippersnappers, will be well familiar with Nine Inch Nails. I like them. They took a powder last Friday. This story, Stephen sent it to us, our correspondent across the pond. Nine Inch Nails said on Friday it had canceled plans to appear on this week's MTV Movie Awards after MTV questioned the band's plans to perform in front of an image of Dear Leader George W. Bush. They were going to play their first single from their latest album. The name of the song is The Hand That Feeds. According to a Los Angeles Times review, the song is, quote, a warning against blind acceptance of authority, including that of a president leading his nation to war. Really? That song's about that? I'll be damned. How about that? Now, let me make sure I got this straight. It's a rock and roll. It's one of those rock and roll bands, and they're a writing music, a protesting something the government does. Has that ever been done before? I can't think that it has. Now, what they wanted to do, they wanted to perform The Hand That Feeds, and before the little Bush monkeys get all upset. This wasn't a picture of George W. Bush with the little horns coming out of his head and the goatee and the little handlebar mustache and the bad sunburn. No. This was just a picture, you know, like on a campaign post. I'm George W. Bush, and I endorse this ad. You know, that kind of picture. It's just a picture of George Bush that they were going to hang there as a backdrop. Okay? That's all it was. And they were going to play The Hand That Feeds in front of that backdrop. MTV said, well, we don't feel so good about that. Actually, they said in a statement loaded with weasel words, while we respect Nine Inch Nails' point of view, we were uncomfortable with their performance being built around a partisan political statement. Really? Oh, thank God MTV wasn't around when the Beatles were, or the Stones were in their prime.
God only knows what MTV would have done with Tin Soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. What would they have done with that? Lord God, Billy Bob, what would they have done with what would they have done with This Is the End, Beautiful Friend, The End? So Nine Inch Nails just wants to play this song in front of this picture of George W. Bush and MTV. No, Mafia said we shouldn't do that. They weren't going to turn around and flip at the bird. They weren't going to turn around and throw eggs at it. They weren't going to do anything to it. They were just going to play the stinking song in front of the photograph. That can't happen. Sorry. Thanks for playing. Or not. But Trent Reznor, the front man of the band, is a pretty sharp knife. He said, apparently, the image of our president is as offensive to MTV as it is to me. You go, Trent. Meanwhile, off in another corner of California, Woodland Hills, California, to be precise, apparently you can't perform in front of an unadulterated, an unretouched, there we go. Apparently you can't perform in front of an unretouched photograph of George W. Bush. And, as an added bonus, you can't make him look like Groucho Marx either. A doctored poster of President George W. Bush sporting Groucho Marx's dark eyebrow. No, not Karl Marx, you right-wing freaks. Groucho. Yeah, Claypool. Mrs. Claypool, and now we got enough for bridge. Last night I shot an elephant in my pajamas. What an elephant was doing in my pajamas, I'll never know. That Groucho Marx, the funny one. The doctored poster of George W. Bush with the Groucho Marx dark eyebrows, mustache, and stogie was supposed to promote a high school play. The El Camino Real High School was doing a play called The Complete History of America Abridged. And it was billed as a zany spoof on the last 500 years. You know how high school plays are. And the original, the cover, you got to understand, the cover of the playbook, the script, as we call it in the biz, was a picture of George Washington with the Groucho Marx eyebrows, mustache, and cigar. Zeta Sigma Rho, and win a prize. And they thought they would update it a little bit. And so they took the George Washington and they made the poster into George Bush. And everything was going great. Until a senior at the high school, who happened to be a Bush supporter, wrote a letter of complaint to the administration last week for the way the president was depicted. Now, here's the fun part. The complaining student added that Bush was also made to look, and I quote, like an Israeli. Woo! Double bonus! Two shots! Though they were disrespecting the image of our dear leader, and they were making him look like a Jew. Listen, I don't have to prove to you that you got a bunch of racist, anti-Semitic, anti-anybody but white, lily white bread, pure Simon Simple and Simon Pure white people in the Republican Party. It's what they are. It's what they do. So the entire student body doesn't complain. One uptight, Jew-hating Republican complains, it made him look like an Israeli. And suddenly an innocuous playbill becomes political art. So here's the result, God bless these students. Six new play promotion broadsheets with a silhouette of Bush and a burning cigar, including such inscriptions as free expression for all, unless you're in high school. What First Amendment? LAUSD, heart symbol censorship. That's the LA Unified School District. Hearts, censorship, and support our troops. And El Camino Real drama hates smoking. Drama teacher Sue Freitag said she didn't think the Los Angeles Unified School District understood the meaning of a political satire, a humorous spoof on government, and that obviously some Republican didn't like George Bush looking like Groucho Marx. Darn moron probably thought it was Karl Marx, like I said. So, what have we learned? You can't perform in front of a picture of George W. Bush that hasn't been messed with, and you darn well better not mess with any pictures of him anyway. Fill your hands, you. First Amendment? What First Amendment? There was a lovely conversation on the afternoon show today about how the people like Madison and Hamilton thought maybe the Bill of Rights wasn't necessary. Alexander Hamilton, white courtesy phone. Alexander Hamilton, white courtesy phone. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Or will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I watch while you lord down to your deathbed, and I stand over your grave, and I'm sure that you're dead.
Shut up.
Good evening, this is Skrullmack, WWNR News. State police have arrested 16 people and cited them for trespassing at Massey Energy's Goals Coal Processing Facility. Sergeant Wayne Vessels says the 16 were part of about 150 environmentalists protesting at the plant today. The group wants Massey to close the preparation plant, which is next to Marsh Fork Elementary. The protests want the company to clean up the school or build a new one in their community, withdraw an application for a second coal loading silo behind the school, and halt blasting operations near their homes. The protesters marched from the elementary school to the plant and crossed onto Massey property. They then read a list of demands, and then some refused to leave. Those were handcuffed and taken to the Whitesville State Police Detachment, where they were given citations and released this afternoon. Vessels did not have a list of names, but says one woman was 80 years old, one was from Alabama, and another from Tucson, Arizona. A worker at a video lottery parlor in Bradley has been arrested in connection with last week's robbery. Casey Everhart of MacArthur was charged with accessory after the fact to armed robbery. Everhart worked at Judy's, which was robbed last Tuesday night at around 3 in the morning. Sheriff's deputies found inconsistencies in her description of the suspect and the business surveillance camera. The number of fatalities in the state over the long Memorial Day weekend was down significant from last year. State police say three people died on the state's highways between 6 o'clock Friday and midnight on Monday. Authorities say neither of the auto fatality victims wore a seatbelt. There was also an ATV rider killed this weekend, and he was not wearing a helmet. Last year, six people died on state highways during the Memorial Day weekend. And the second finalist for the Marshall University President's Post visited the campus today, Thomas R. Hanley, currently as Vice President and former Provost of Auburn University. He visited the South Charleston and Huntington campuses today. That's the news. Here's the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy. Temperatures now mid to upper 60s. Tonight, cloudy, low 55. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. A slight chance of showers late in the afternoon. And tomorrow's high near 72. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Why is there never any truth in packaging when Washington politicos deliver special interest goodies to their corporate backers? When they delivered a multi-billion dollar tax giveaway to drug companies, for example, they didn't call it the Pharmaceutical Freeloader Fund, but instead branded it the American Jobs Creation Act. And now, here come the Bushites with another bundle of big corporate favors disguised as a boon for working folks. CAFTA, they call it, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Despite its sprightly acronym, this giveaway is neither free nor about trade. It extends the job-busting, environment-exploiting provisions of NAFTA to six more Latin countries, and, most dangerously, it empowers global corporations to overturn laws and regulations that they don't like in all the countries involved. It literally usurps democratic sovereignty. Yet you'd never know this from the way CAFTA is being packaged and sold. The debate in Washington and in the media is all about how many jobs will be created or lost, with the corporate forces making phantasmagoric claims that divert the real debate that should be happening. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, for example, issued a study asserting that CAFTA would be a job machine for U.S. workers. First of all, the study itself is a fairy tale based on the absurd assumption that these six mostly poor nations will suddenly devote a third of their entire economic activity to buying stuff from us. It also fails to count any of the jobs the U.S. will lose due to our corporations moving there to make stuff to ship back for sale here. More importantly, though, the debate should be on what CAFTA really gives away to global corporations, which is our very democracy. This astonishing usurpation of power is why Bush and corporate lobbyists are pushing so furiously for this so-called trade deal. This is Jim Hightower saying, ignore the packaging, look at the contents. To learn more, call Global Trade Watch, 202-588-1000.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from a magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.kla.org.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome, welcome back. Tuesday evening, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid. I said that without any hesitation. Yay for me. you remember the stem cell debate, some debate, from last week? And how people like Rick Santorum, Sanctum Santorum, junior senator from Pennsylvania, stood up to defend the sanctity of blastocysts. I'll call this what you will, but call it what we frequently do and do so well. It's another Republican hypocrisy update. Oh, and they just roll through one after another. Like I said, I don't even have time to always get to them all. It turns out, after standing there and talking, I mean, this is a sick man, Rick Santorum. Please remember that after the United States Supreme Court struck down Texas's anti-sodomy law that said, well, the Supreme Court in essence said, you know, we're not going to go and peep in anybody's bedrooms to see what they're doing, that this bizarre erstwhile human being, Rick Sanctum Santorum, what did he do? Well, he got up in the well of the Senate and he declared that because gay human beings were allowed to engage in consensual sex, that the next thing we could expect was men, I'm sorry, men having sex with dogs in the street. Now, I've had a little bit of formal logic here and there, and there's no way you can make that leap and make it logically. Of course, this is not a man for whom logic is that important. Upon hearing in the House of Representatives vote to expand stem cell research, he said he was disheartened. He was disheartened. And then he said he does not support taxpayer funding for scientific research that involves the destruction of human embryos. He does, however, apparently support them being simply flushed down the toilet or thrown into the medical waste bin. There's only one problem. Rick Santorum, great guy that he is, this guy who took his dead fetus home and terrorized his children with it, no kidding, it happened. He took $55,500 in campaign contributions from companies that do embryonic stem cell research. Boop! Busted again. Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee said, Rick Santorum's opposition to stem cell research is hypocritical. He staunchly opposes stem cell research and even introduced legislation to severely limit the research, but he has no problem accepting money from the companies that conduct the research. And being as how he's a Republican, I'm guessing he's not going to let go the death grip that he has on that 55 and a half large. Now, he took that money in 1998, and no, it's not like he had a religious conversion since then. He took them in contributions from political actions committee, political PACs, representing six separate companies that conduct stem cell research. That would be Becton Dickinson, General Electric. General Electric does stem cell research? Put a little charge to it. Talk about we bring good things to life. Oy vey. Johnson & Johnson, bringing Band-Aids to an embryo near you. Merck, Novartis, and Pfizer. Now, even so, in January 2003, Santorum co-sponsored legislation that would have imposed severe restrictions on stem cell research. It was opposed by organizations like the Christopher Reeve Paralysis Foundation, the American Diabetes Association, and the National Organization for Women. $55,500 that he's taken in campaign contributions from six separate companies. It's as simple as that. You don't have to look. What was it? What is it? Will a Republican take money from any corporate donor? Is that what it is? Any corporate donor will do, and you don't even have to look into their background to find out if they're going to make you a great big screaming honking. No, they're not going to make you one. You're already one. You're a Republican. And meanwhile, we've got people running around making fun of people who suffer from Parkinson's disease. Making fun of the likes of Michael J. Fox, Senator Byrd, the Pope. He had Parkinson's. The Pope. The guy who is on the fast track to sainthood. Making fun of Muhammad Ali. Yeah, a whole lot of shaking indeed. So, I don't know. If you're a Republican, and God knows there are oodles of them hanging on my every word every night, you're just taking so many whippings that, you know, why bother? But these people who think that embryos are babies and that you should take your dead baby home and scare the bejabbers out of your infants with them. Look, it's your dead baby brother. I'm so glad I'm not a part of the party. God knows I have my problems with my own party from time to time. But it's a pretty big party, and we're going to have problems. But, you know, to have to sit there night after night after night and explain away the fact that the Senate's most vociferous pro-life, pro-embryo senator takes money from people who every day do terrible, terrible things, bad things, man, to embryos. Oh, I couldn't do it. That's what makes this job so easy and so wonderful. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. To the phones, Paul is with us. Hey, Paul, you're head on. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
All right, bud. How you doing?
I'm all right.
I got a couple for you tonight.
Okay.
Well, I thought this governor was a Republican, and I know it now.
Okay.
He's fallen in with the administration. Now the agencies of the state are sending out the paperwork, a six-page job, for the people to get the drug card.
Really?
Yeah. And people don't know what it is, but that's the new Medicare Advantaged Welfare Program.
Oh, brother.
You know, the regular Social Security, you don't, on your own Medicare, is an insurance, but you don't get drugs with it.
Right, right.
But you go on the Medicare Advantage, you're on the welfare program.
Well, of course, we had the story a couple of weeks ago. We know now that, for instance, and it was the Bush administration's own numbers, Paul, little old ladies who take the, who sign up for the Medicare prescription drug plan are going to have their food stamps cut.
Yeah, they're already transferred. As soon as they fill out those papers, they're transferred. But let me give you the rest of it.
Okay.
They're allowed to look at any bank accounts, any investments they got, property, everything like that. They'll be able to look at it and see what they want to take them on in the HMO or not. And those that you don't have to have a certain dollar value, even though they listed in the paper a little over $14,000 for a single and $19,000, a little over $19,000 for a family. Has nothing to do with those figures. Anybody can sign over to get that drug card. And once you sign over, you're transferred out of the insurance program over to the welfare program. And they can go and look, they can request your tax returns. So knowing everything that you're doing, what you're filing and everything, turn over to the private now.
Whatever happened to getting government off our back, Paul?
Well,
I thought that's what Republicans ran on.
Well, they're trying to privatize everything. Now let me give you the other one.
Okay.
But that one, this one I just told you about, everybody at 65 and older, you better pay attention. You sign on to this, you're finished.
Is this going out? I mean, you said it's going in the mail. Has it happened already?
Yeah, it's happening already. Yeah, the state agencies. And they're not telling the people the truth. See, remember when I told you I went up October the 22nd when Paul Nussbaum was telling the vendors why they weren't being paid?
Yeah.
Well, they were billing on state codes. They'd already, in 2003, when the president signed H.R. 1, they had automatically get a HMO operator to run the state Medicaid programs.
Oh, golly.
So that's the reason they weren't being paid.
Makes your head swim, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, will you remember or not, the government sold $24 billion worth of TV and radio frequencies.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And see, they've been buying up stations like Warren Buffett and all the rest of them. Now the coal operators, or Republicans of West Virginia, have been buying up radio and TV stations too. So they're going to control the whole media. This is what it's boiling down to, bud.
Well, that's part and parcel of fascism, isn't it?
It sure is.
Government controlled, state-sponsored media.
Yeah, see, they got around with this thing on digital TV.
Right.
In laser cable. You know, this kind of stuff.
Well, I heard the story the other night about there was some debate in Congress as to whether or not when over-the-air TV goes digital, whether the government should pay for the converter boxes for people who don't have digital-ready TVs.
Yeah, but this is the point. We're moving ahead for all this electronic industry, the computer industry, and I guarantee when 2008, 2009 roll around, a lot of them want to take that computer in and throw it out the door. But they don't know how well they're controlled with all this and the information you get. But just take a look down who owns the major TV and radio stations now. And it's the big boys.
Well, we know on the national front, GE, the single largest military contractor in the world, GE, owns NBC.
Right.
And in partnership owns MSNBC. We know that Viacom owns CBS.
Right.
And I believe they also own MTV, who, interestingly enough, wouldn't allow Nine Inch Nails to perform in front of a picture of George.
Yep.
Disney owns ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Time Warner, AOL, owns CNN. Rupert Murdoch will take him as read. Well...
The people do not realize what is going on in their own government.
No.
In this state.
But we know every last thing that's happened in the Michael Jackson trial.
Oh, yeah. And then this thing about changing our Constitution to take the pensions and put them on the stock market, we triple our debt.
Well, as I understand it, and I've done some considerable reading on this pension bond issue, Paul, the debt's going to be there one way or the other.
Yeah. Why don't we just stay where we are and take it as it comes?
Well, what scares me is we're going to have to honor the debt.
That's right.
And frankly, when it comes to promises made to individuals by way of pensions, I don't like it when they're taken away by corporations who go bankrupt, and I don't believe that states should be able to weasel out of them either. But the problem we face with this bond issue, Paul, is that out of all state tax revenues, every year that bond debt will get serviced first.
Right. And it should have been serviced years ago. But they've been down there, they've been funding this, they've had the rainy day funds and all this, and never paying any attention. They didn't care about their obligation. But it's the same bunch. If you take a hard look at it, they haven't changed that much. But here he's coming down to what we've got right now. And this governor, when he gives a special session before he even gives the State of the Union, and then you have all these special sessions after it. I know my name came up quite a few times on this past session. It's the things I've been talking about. And what I've been talking about, the debt, how much we're obligated, and we should be paying our bills instead of going off and doing other things. But that's what we're doing. But this governor right now, I have no more trust in him than the two before him.
Well, it makes me nervous, Paul, because again, maybe this is something that people don't really get a handle on, or maybe I'm oversimplifying or overcomplicating. I don't know. But I look at my kids,
mm-hmm.
and if I vote for this pension bond, if I vote for this, I am voting to indebt them in a way that they are not in debt. Now they're going to be dealing. In their working lives, if they stay in West Virginia, they're going to be dealing with the pension debt one way or the other.
Right, right.
But if I tie them up with this bond debt, it is something that's going to be a lot harder to adjust if hard times do come. And, you know, the hard times are going to come.
They're coming.
And I don't mean it's a roller coaster ride. There's up and there's down.
And
they're not going to be able to get out from under that pension bond debt.
No, and if that market crashes, we got a debt and a half, and we're going to have to deal with it.
Yep.
But you just don't triple a debt.
Well, it's interesting because I keep suggesting that people look to small third world countries and what they've done with bond debt. Ecuador is a great case in point.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, well, you know, Bob, that's another country. That's not the United States.
And we're looking at Brazil. Same thing. Oh, Brazil's doing good. They went from a Social Security to this investment thing. And half of them right now don't even have enough to live on.
Well, the same with Chile. In the case of Ecuador right now, though, they got nothing because they have to. They sold out their economy on bond debt, and they took. There was a downturn in the market, and now as a consequence, they're pouring their entire being into the service of that bond debt, and so that everything else has to suffer.
Yeah, and the former director who just resigned from the International Monetary Fund is against what Bush is doing right now. And then Bush appoints his own man into this.
Yeah, well, he put Wolfowitz in there for a simple reason, Paul, that Wolfowitz could never have gotten through a congressional confirmation hearing for any governmental, any high governmental post, so they gave him something where he wouldn't have to deal with the scrutiny, i.e. the World Bank.
Yeah, and on this genetic thing, here we're talking about genetics and using these cells, and he turned around and says, I'll veto anything that comes up.
Right.
All right. People wouldn't be living today if we didn't have blood transfusion.
That's right.
And organ transplants.
Yeah, and this is the kind of guy that would have had people standing up saying it's against God's will.
And if he had read his Bible, no greater love than a man has for his fellow man is to lay down his life for his fellow man. And what did he think of his master? What did he do?
Yeah.
And you're talking about cells here that don't even have a name. Some couple has donated them, and then they have to inseminate them. But you've got to have 23 from one from the mother, 23 from the father, and that is the to come up with a cell body. And we're so far from this research, Bob, it's something else. I mean, we got a long ways to go.
We do, but there's hope there.
Yeah, there is hope. But for him to make the statements that he does, he's totally ignorant of the subject he talks about.
Well, you know, his credibility with me sort of went down the toilet, Paul, when he said, I'm not going to approve anything that destroys life, and we got 1,600 dead Americans, dead on a lie.
Yeah, yeah. And now we got another thing, Bob. You got Hagel and three more, two Democrats and two Republicans, putting up a bill to do away with the alternative minimum tax.
Yeah.
And you do away with that alternative minimum tax, you will not be collecting that Social Security back that they spent. You got it?
Yeah, they're going to kill it. They're going to kill it one way or the other. Whether they shoot it, cut it, or strangle it, it's going to die.
It's going to die. And the tax code has been changed already. And he said, oh, we're going to change the tax code. It's already been changed. I just quoted it to you there on H.R. 1 from 2003. And now it's here. It's phased in each step.
When 2011, 2012 rolls around.
Oh, you can kiss it goodbye.
It's going to.
I tell you, it'll be sooner than that, Bob. It'll start 2008. When the baby boomers start to retire, they're going to find out half of their Social Security's already gone.
Oh, mercy. Paul, it's always good to talk to you.
Okay, Bob.
You have a good evening.
You too. Take care.
You too. Bye. And, well, Paul has a very good point. Let's, this issue of, wait and see. I'm not going to sit here and try to blather at it. Let's talk about it after the top of the hour news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
You know what?
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her two-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand.
Oh,
no, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Yeah, what's this? Hold it now. This is the milk. Oh, whole milk in this carton. But wait, low fat and no fat. Low fat and no fat. Now, they're milk too. And yet, their names rhyme. Whole milk, low fat, no fat. Wow, that's a lot of milk, huh?
This man may sound odd to you and me.
Oh, and look at this. Cheese. Now, cheese is made out of milk, huh?
But to his three-year-old daughter who is helping to pick out food she likes, he makes perfect sense.
All different kinds of cheese. Honey, here's one. It has holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments like riding the bus, getting ready for work, or even shopping for groceries, and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Hey, now, wait a minute. This one's called Gorgonzola. Can you say Gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
All right, we can work on that one.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at phonelearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Across America, local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, food drives, and disaster relief, giving communities information they need at the touch of a button. America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, you can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR. Beckley, it's 9 o'clock.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob. And the phone number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. An hour left in this Tuesday night edition of Head On with a big stack of stuff to get at. Because of the long holiday weekend, Paul mentioned something about the things that we likely would not have had there been a religious right out there to stand in stark opposition to them years ago. Blood transfusions, rubella vaccinations, smallpox vaccinations, polio, pick one. Now, What and this sort of it coincides with something I ran across in the Sunday Gazette, and that, it was a front page article. Yeah, it had to do with the fact that the so-called conscience issue has finally reached wild, wonderful West Virginia, to the extent that there's the conscience movement, you know, that doesn't want pharmacists to have to prescribe medication if they think it's going to cause a silent abortion. In other words, women can't get their birth control pills, morning after pills are hard to come by. It's finally come to West Virginia. Now, that being the case, it did set me to cogitating a bit. To the extent that inherent in that line of reasoning, and they do this so well that we just slide right past it and we start fighting the battle on their terms, on their ground, before we even know that we're half-licked going in because we've done exactly what they wanted us to. What do I mean by that? What I mean is as follows. There are a lot of scientists out there, researchers, who are truly concerned with bettering human life on this sweet little blue-green orb hurtling through the universe. And they are concerned with bettering human life not necessarily because they are adherents to some particular religious paradigm or philosophy, but rather because they know what science has done for humankind when used properly. And they know what it may do. With me so far, of course, I'm talking to the smart people, the decent people, the normal people, the progressive people, Democrats. But in this particular argument, we've done it again. It's the conscience issue. And inherent in the doggone discussion is the notion that only right-wing religious zealots of the religion industry that only they can have a conscience, that only they can be affected by moral choices or decisions. By definition, it is a slap in the face, you see, to the conscientious science community. The same kind of people who, for instance, fled Hitler's Germany so that their scientific advances would not be used by monsters. Einstein comes to mind, as the paper noted today. This is the 100th anniversary of his opening the door to so much that has changed our lives. Now, that being the case, it would be nice, A, to have a legislator with enough stones to suggest this in the halls of the legislature or of Congress. It would be equally nice to find a few dedicated, scientifically oriented pharmacists who would stand up and say, we resent the religion industry trying to take away the conscience issue from us. We are loaded, sunshine, with conscience. And to that end, if one of these religion industry zombies who happens to hold a pharmacy degree can look at a woman and say, I don't believe you should have your birth control pills because it offends my sensibilities, then one of these dedicated scientists should be able to look at a person and say, quick question, before I fill your antibiotic that's going to save your life, quick question, how was the earth formed? And when they look at him and say, 6 days, the pharmacist gets to say, too many people have suffered too much at the hands of the religion industry because of people who think like you. Therefore, as a matter of conscience, I will not fill your antibiotic prescription. Simple enough, don't you think? Who says the wingnuts have the market cornered on conscience when we know damned good and well that they don't? We know that they sat idly by as the missiles and the bombs rained on families all over Iraq. We know they sat as silent as the tomb while death fell out of the air on the Christians of Iraq, the Muslims of Iraq. We know that they said nothing in abeyance of this horrific violence being done in all our names. And we know that they would gladly stand and stop anything of a scientific nature that might advance the human cause if they feared that it would somehow lessen their political clout. So let's get some humanistic pharmacists of conscience to look at people and say, sorry, I got one too, and you can't have your medicine. And then see how it plays. There would be a hue and cry in the street. James Dobson would take to the airwaves with his 2,000 radio stations or whatever it is he has. There's a war, brethren and sistren, against the community of faith in America as demon scientists deny life-saving drugs to true believers. It'll never happen. Mostly it'll never happen because those humanistic pharmacists believe in alleviating the suffering of any who come to them bearing a prescription by a physician authorized to write such in the course and conduct of their practice. But it would be kind of nice to shake them up, wouldn't it? We'll go to your phone calls as soon as we get back from our break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night. How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's Memory Master, Matthew Gerk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-634-7380. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-634-7380. 1-800-634-7380.
1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi.
Imagine this quickly.
3 Mississippi.
Starting to lose the ability to write.
4 Mississippi.
Or falling.
5 Mississippi.
Because it's suddenly hard to stand up.
6 Mississippi.
All because a stroke has just hit you.
7 Mississippi.
In fact, every minute without getting medical help is risking permanent damage.
8 Mississippi.
Like the ability to walk.
9 Mississippi.
To smile.
10 Mississippi.
To even talk.
Mississippi.
Or remember that Mississippi is one of the 50 states.
Mississippi.
So warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience this, call 911 immediately, because time lost. Stroke Today, a public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Yeah, 620-9967. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're Head On. Wayne. Wayne, you with us? Okay, put Wayne on hold again for a minute. Lee. Hey, Lee, you're Head On.
Bob.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing good. Haven't heard from you in a while. You doing all right?
Doing pretty good. It's just lots of work.
Oh, I know.
The gentleman, well, sometimes I just have to take time out to call because I guess I get irritated.
Well, it happens. I get that way too.
But what is the problem when you sign up with a government agency for help? What's the big deal about them knowing what your bank accounts are, your assets? Are people just afraid that they'll know the truth about how people hide things?
No, Lee. I think it's keeping one's personal business personal and private has been sort of a long-standing value in this country, to the point that the government in most circumstances is not even allowed to keep private dossiers.
And with all the lying and cheating that goes on from the public they don't think it's about time to find out what all these people are not telling the government?
Well, the sad thing, Lee, is the referencing is the letter class, if you will. You don't care so much about lying and cheating by that you let some poor schlub say that they get 19 grand. Well, we'll put them under the prison.
Well, I can't say that we are not concerned with how your upper class does thing.
Lee Kenway robbed thousands of people, of billions of people.
Why haven't they went and taken away what he accumulated, his assets?
He's still living in a mansion in Aspen, Colorado, and he has not been brought to, because he is our betters. We have created a wealthy class,
who do you blame for that?
In large part, government.
And then, why do we every time we go to the polls? Why do we go in and put the same people back?
Well, for the last two presidential elections, God wouldn't like it. They'll come and get your guns if you don't elect George Bush. And then this last time through, it was gay if you don't elect George Bush. Who will put up with any amount of evil as long as they're told God endorses it.
Well, this goes back to what I have said before. This two-party thing just makes things worse.
Well, I don't know. For my part, Lee, I'm grateful that they're Republicans to make sure that there is not
that filibuster doings was just a laughable situation.
Well, I thought so too. But Bill Frist to go nuclear I don't think that's good for this country. I don't think a one party nation is what we.
Well, I didn't say. One party.
Well, the other side of that coin, Lee, is that,
and who fights against that?
Well, it's not necessarily who fights it. It's the way that
it's the two parties.
Well, not just that. It's the nature of the nation. We don't have a parliamentary system that third parties, where coalition governments are formed, have that, where you've got Greens and Christian others.
The actual bickering is going to go on because in my opinion you can't believe neither party one would say this. I mean, if you were standing right there looking at a white bleat, a pure white cow. One's going to say it's something else, and the other one's going to say it's something else. And that's that.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Lee. There is an element of that. Self-preservation is on the mind of both parties, and growth is on the minds of both parties. But where you have a much greater chance of repairing the Republicans, all Democrats have to do is go back to being good old FDR-style Democrats. Nobody's ever going to fix the Republican Party because the Republican Party is what the Republicans are in. Of the money, for the money, and by the money. Bush stands up in front of a group of donors. Some people call you the haves and the have. Some people call you the haves and the have-mores. I call you my base. I think the rubber mask monster.
This goes right back to. They should give anyone that's running for president a flat half mil.
Oh, absolutely, Lee. It's a financing.
And then if you have to get out here and ride the bus to campaign, but that way, and you can't spend no more than a half million, and that's it. When your half million is up, tough.
Yeah, and you know what? Another truly noble people like we once saw in our political.
I'll say this last thing. You show me a common working man. He stands up and say, I'm running for president, and let's say I don't want to put no income thing there, but let's just say a common ordinary working man, and then you put him beside a filthy rich person, and the mind of the public is, if that rich man has to be your leader, that common man, a common person will.
You know what you just described, Lee? I really enjoyed the conversation, though, Lee. It's good to hear from you. I hope we will again. Take care, all right?
Sure.
All right, time.
Will it stop us now? We need a bed that we won't bow. Neither can be born our soul. Pure defender rights and the guilt that must unite. Your life is worth much more than gold. We're jamming. In Mount Zion, it rules all creation. Here we're chiming.
Head on.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. State police have arrested 16 people and cited them for trespassing at Massey Energy's Goals Coal Processing Facility. Sergeant Wayne Bessel says the 16 were part of about protesting at the plant today. The group operation plant, which is next to Marsh Fuller, build a new one in their community, withdraw an application for a second coal-loading site. Fayetteville businessman charged with killing his son-in-law is free on bond. After an appearance today in Fayette County, today Judge John Hatcher set bond at $75,000 for Larry Hess, the co-owner of Dodd Payne Hess Funeral Home, charged with murder in connection with the death of Jerry Chesterfield. Chesterfield was funeral home on April 20th, was still in the funeral home, and five rounds of ACE have been investigating claims that Chester's wife, who is Hess's daughter. Number of fatalities in the state on the long Memorial Day weekend was significantly down from last year. People died on the highways between 6 o'clock Friday evening, and Bailey of Pineville was killed in an accident near Copperston. Highway fatality in Pleasants County was the repeat. Troopers identified that victim, Groves of Raven Rock. Two ATV fatals. The other occurred on private property. A worker at a video lottery parlor in Bradley has been arrested in connection with last week's robbery. Part of MacArthur is now charged with accessory after the fact to duties, which was robbed at around 3 o'clock last Tuesday morning. Everhart worked there, and sheriff's deputies found inconsistencies in her description of the suspect and the surveillance video. That's news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, mid-60s. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to about 53, and then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of showers late in the day with a high near 72. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
He got his first trumpet from band leader Al Hurt. He didn't really want it. He hated practicing. His story next on Biography for Radio.
I'm a reporter, and when a story breaks, I have to do my job, even when I'm congested from my worst allergies. Fortunately, I found Claritin D. Now, I'm Claritin Clear.
25 seconds, Tom.
Claritin D gives me non-drowsy, long-lasting relief from even my worst allergy symptoms, like congestion and sinus pressure. Nothing is stronger or faster than Claritin D. It takes on my worst symptoms and leaves me clear.
5 seconds.
Get tough on your toughest allergy symptoms. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Comparisons are among oral OTC allergy products.
He was 6 when his father handed him the shiny gold trumpet. Al Hurt, who led his father's New Orleans jazz band, hoped the boy would follow in dad's footsteps. But the roguish youngster preferred throwing rocks and playing baseball. Still, he kept the trumpet and practiced from time to time. He was terrible. As he entered his teens, he reconsidered a musical life and decided to give it a go. He went to New York to study classical music. And at 18, was invited to join Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers as a trumpeter. His polished technique began getting attention, and so did his hardline attitude. He believed in jazz as it was in his father's day, bluesy and improvised. He was critical of rock and jazz fusion. This didn't always win him friends. As he began touring the world, his lectures on jazz and its African-American roots became almost a crusade. In 1997, the outspoken performer became the first jazz musician ever to receive the Pulitzer Prize for music. By then, he was playing classical and jazz music, writing scores, leading the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, and commentating on television. The instrument in his hands had truly turned gold for Wynton Marsalis. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Certified organic agriculture is growing rapidly in the state of Maryland. And most farmers in the Mid-Atlantic region say they are content with the weather we've seen this spring. That'll be our focus on today's edition of On the Farm Radio. I'm Jeff Ishii. And we will be getting to our program in just a moment, but first of all, I wanted to tell you about the 2005 Ford Expedition. It's had some full-sized improvements to this full-sized SUV, and now the Expedition is more efficient than ever. Take the 2005 Ford Expedition's 5.4-liter V8 engine. It is the single most fuel-efficient engine ever put to work in an Expedition. That means you'll still get that classic Ford power to pull, tow, or haul whatever you need without sacrificing any fuel efficiency. So bring yourself and half a dozen of your best friends down to a local Ford dealership right now and take the 2005 Ford Expedition out for a spin. You'll like how this full-sized SUV handles like a sports car, but it can still handle seating for seven. Experience the Expedition today, only at your local Ford dealership. You'll understand why Ford vehicles are the official vehicle of On the Farm Radio. Consumer demand for certified organic products in the state of Maryland continues to increase, and farmers in Maryland are trying to keep up with that demand. The amount of certified organic farmland in Maryland has doubled since 1997. The Maryland Department of Agriculture hopes to better serve organic farmers by adding new members to the Maryland Organic Certification Advisory Committee. Secretary of Agriculture Lewis Riley says farmers and industry representatives can volunteer for this committee, and he says it's a great opportunity to lead the Maryland organic industry at the state level. Well, most farmers in the Mid-Atlantic region say that they are content with the amount of precipitation we have received this spring. The current crop moisture report for late May indicates surface moisture is categorized as normal thanks to the abundant rainfall about 2 weeks ago. Most farm ponds and streams throughout the Mid-Atlantic region are being described as at normal levels. The last full week of May was a mild one around the Mid-Atlantic region with daytime high temperatures averaging anywhere from the 60s to the 70s, and in a few spots in North Carolina, temperatures in the 80s. And don't forget, you can send in your own pearl of wisdom through our website at On the Farm Radio, and it is through our website today that our pearl of wisdom comes in from listener Becky Tierlink, who says, "Falling down doesn't make you a failure, but staying down does." Thanks to Becky Tierlink for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh, yeah, there you are.
What's the music?
Genesis.
Gonna end?
Someday.
Good. Listen, I wanted to say bravo for the Parkinson's disease attack. I mean, yeah. My God. You know, how immature can we get?
Yeah, let's kick some puppies while we're at it.
Yeah, right, or something. And not even claim we're, dusting them off. Or, you know, like
yeah,
Bush would wash the kitties or,
yeah.
And they'd say they were baptized.
Right.
But I thought that was very, as a matter of fact, it's funny because when I listened to that the other day, it really made me mad.
I got a bunch of emails about it.
Oh, God, it really enraged me. And I went, you know, like, what can I do? And I've caught, there is a National Parkinson's Foundation.
Yeah.
You know, support group. And there's some a chapter in Charleston, and I called those people today. And anyway, the thing has kind of died because lack of interest. You know, which that's sad.
You mean the Parkinson's?
Yes. You know, and but people should still be outraged. I mean, you know.
Oh.
I mean, this is politics at its finest. We're going to pick on a man's disease.
Well, when you got nothing left to pick on. But you know what, Wayne? You know
God,
what?
That made me so mad.
Well, you know, and he's not necessarily.
Arnold Spector has principles.
Yeah, and he's also got prostate fighting, and he refuses to just go down.
And what's he doing? Supporting stem cell research.
Right. So yes. dig this.
That's an honorable man. See, Republican, yeah. Democrat, none of that matters. What matters is honorable.
Well, but wait. Here's the fun part.
Okay.
Our buddies on the right.
Non-honorable?
Yes.
Yes.
This is from the Senator Spector apparently wants a place on your pick your poster child. Arlen Spector, bald from chemotherapy treatments. So this guy goes on pick
what
your
poster.
What
do they call? What's Bushy call them? Snowflake babies
snowflakes.
Or something?
Yeah. But, you know, these. I won't go through
that. That's from his cocaine days, you know.
Peruvian snowflakes.
Yes.
Yeah. But this guy goes on and just makes fun of Arlen Spector for having.
Yes, they are. Yeah, you know, I mean, so, well, now they got Arlen Spector, okay, they got Senator Byrd, Parkinson's, blah, blah, blah. This is what this hated disease month?
I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Well, hated guy with disease that's okay as long as.
Right. But if it's non-hated, that could get very complicated.
Yes, in a hurry. That's pharmacists.
Yeah. It amazes me, but I'm glad you called it out. That's what makes this radio free Beckley.
I like to think so.
I do too.
All right.
You know, and I know somehow or another you could tell me how to get a hold of the resistance.
They're out there. Hey, they're at whiteRoseSociety.org.
All right, brother.
All right.
I'll talk to you later, man.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Later, Wayne.
Yes.
There you are.
Yes, yes, yes. I was listening. I had it on the radio. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Missed you last night.
I did too. I would have been here if they would have let me.
Well, I guess everyone was at the cemeteries yesterday, like we were, putting a flag on a grave. So.
Just trying to remember, folks.
Yeah, especially some of our vets.
Yeah.
We do have vets in our families. You know, West Virginia has always been one that always came to the forefront. I think it was reported the other day that West Virginia has more veterans that stands up to the than any state in the United States. So
we give more than any other.
Well, on top of that, more of our men have served.
Yeah.
Explain to me about the bond issue. I have been really, really busy. I haven't called for quite a while, I'm not really sure what's going on. I haven't been able to listen to Dr. Bill. Been really busy.
Here's promises were made in the past.
Which pensions?
Now, see, you caught me flat-footed.
I know it's not school teachers' pensions, because I talked to a teacher next door. And
some of them are.
Said, no, it's not. It's not school. It's
some
not
of them.
School
some
teachers.
Of them. Some of them are judicial pensions, but they're state pensions. Higher and higher payments out of state tax. What we're talking about doing now, and frankly, I'm on the right, taking a position contrary to that of my party. What we're talking about doing now is issuing a boatload of bonds to cover that pension debt. Okay, it's not. If we issue these bonds, it's not going to increase your taxes, as it now stands.
But the debt.
The debt on the average debt.
When does this bond come up for a vote?
June 20th.
Is it going to be at the schools like it always has been?
It'll be. You'll go to your.
I will vote against that.
Well, what concerns?
I thought state employees had their own pension plans.
Well, they do.
So why are we going to go in debt to give them a retirement benefit?
Well, no. They've already got the retirement plan. It's part of their. What has happened is that we have failed to appropriate time.
Well, I've got a good idea. Why don't we quit giving free education to illegal aliens and to doctors who are coming in here from foreign countries so their children get to go to college free? You know, I don't think those things are right.
We don't have that much.
Yeah, but do you know all the doctors in this state that's coming from foreign countries, their children get to go to college free?
I had
a teacher to tell me that we do have some doctors who came in here who are citizens of foreign countries who are coming in here, and I don't know. It was a law that got passed a long, long time ago. Because we didn't have enough doctors
right.
could come here from foreign countries and could practice medicine. And they don't even have to pass the board. and that their children, if they bring them, their children get to go to college free.
Well, I don't believe that anyone that
oh they are though
without being fully accredited.
They are, because my doctor who did my surgery told me to be real careful. The doctor I went to, and that was 10 years ago, that he told me that doctors are allowed to practice in this state without. What they do is they go and take the board exam, he said. If they flunk it, they still get to practice. They just have to go and take it.
As long as they're in good standing with their...
Uh-huh, but they still can practice medicine here and not be able to pass the state bar exam. And I said, you were kidding, I didn't even know that existed. And they said, that is true. I know the doctor that delivered me when I was a child. It came out after he passed away that he was not a licensed practitioner.
But see, the thing we have to Putnam County and butchered them before quitting time.
Well, you know, the president said that those $8.8 trillion of those well, do you know those are the same thing that we give to foreign governments?
Those are treasury bills.
Sure they are. And they are just as good as the treasury bills that we have given to foreign countries or are given now.
Right, and we
all the money we're borrowing. I heard a foreign country on my shortwave radio say, you know, Americans produce nothing no more. All they're doing is buying, and we are not loaning them no more money. Said they owe us $72 trillion.
Well, right, and
it's now they are going to Asia and borrow money and says, also, they says, oh, well, you know, it's up 3%, but they are borrowing up to 7%.
Absolutely, Trish. I mean, just absolutely made them break out in cold sweat.
Those are money that my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my parents and myself and our children all worked to pay into.
Sure. And
but that for many generations of Americans.
Our taxes. It's always good to hear from you, though, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good evening. I thank you for telling me about the lawn.
Well, keep an eye out for it, and we'll try to talk.
Okay, thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
And Ed. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Setting them up, knocking them down.
Sound like you had a good weekend.
It was. You know, went to the cemetery.
You know, I heard you talking earlier about the state police, and I made it arrested. You know, the real arrest should be made against Massey and Blankenship for the pollution,
yeah,
the damage you're doing those kids down there. It's against everything that the American people stand for.
Well, you know, but if one of those kids,
God's will.
Yeah. Well, all of it, you know, and Joe Manchin and the Chamber of Commerce and stuff, if we had any kind of leadership, this stuff couldn't go on. And our government, our governor, as far as I'm concerned, sucks. He is lower than a Republican for calling himself a Democrat. And then, but you know, the people put these people in, no better judgment they got. They ought to know if the Chamber of Commerce accepts a person that they're not going to be for the working class people. Bob, when are they going to wake up?
I honestly talked to the guy. He seems like a great guy.
Well,
and
talk is cheap.
That's true. But there are some things about this dress code, and they said they don't have enough to go out and buy where Gabe's is.
Yeah, well, that might as well kick them in the knees, hadn't it?
Well, that was pretty
and,
insulting.
You know, of course, he can go out and buy him a yacht. That's what I'm talking about. These guys wear these fancy suits and stuff. Are out of touch with the American worker.
Man.
And it's disgusting to see the people that really believe that these things are just happening. It's like you said, probably God's will.
Well, but you know, maybe a little more beans and cornbread.
Yeah, when they can't afford to wear anything with secondhand stuff, they'll wake up. But I wanted to comment on real quick. I know the time's running short, but the veterans that's being badmouthed, but one of the local windbags over there, that's too big a coward to go in himself. As far as I'm concerned, that guy is nothing but anti-American and certainly anti-soldiers that would support a war that's getting these boys killed. Does he not know
or anyone as far as that goes, that they're supporting killing our people. It's just, you know, and Bob, I am a veteran. All my uncles are veterans. My two brothers was on the Canberra, the cruiser, that boarded that Russian ship that checked it out for the missiles that was going to Cuba.
Right.
And I'm not talking from a standpoint of, well, this don't look right. I'm talking from a standpoint of experience and being involved rather than being involved with lip service.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it just burns me up to hear a little pimp like that comes on with this stuff. I would like to really run into him. I would really like to give him a piece of my mind.
Well, I think you just did.
Well,
and the big difference, there's the big difference between, say, 1,600 Americans plus are dead and 10, 20. For what?
Yeah. Well, I got into it. They had a get together family on my wife's side, and there was six Republicans there, and we was over at this church at Lansing, and they looked on the side of the hill and said, that must be the Republican headquarters. And I tell you the truth, I got fired up. I told them, I said, you know what, there ain't enough damn Republicans in this county to make a headquarters. And the one guy spoke up, his Mo High, said, well, George Bush at least defends our country. I looked at him, I said,
oh,
from
God.
What, the booger man? And, you know, it was like that about all day.
Yeah,
you know?
and those people, Ed.
They're hopeless. I mean.
But that being said, I got to roll out of here. We're out of time.
All right. Thanks
Good
for
to
your
hear
time.
From you, Ed. Take care.
Uh-huh,
bye. Now. Show tonight was produced, at least in part, by Brian Reznor and brought to you as ever. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, prayer meeting edition. You be there. I'll be here. Hey, Agnes. Proud of